The DeFalco Files is an entertainment-based program. Some memories of certain events might be fuzzy. All opinions are that of the host. Content might not be appropriate for children and some adults. Listener discretion is advised. And remember, the truth is here. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents The DeFalco Files with FSW owner Joe DeFalco and your host, Matt Michaels.
This is The DeFalco Files with Matt Michaels along with Joe DeFalco, the owner and creator of FSW, and today our special guest, the FSW No Limits Champion, Mr. Ice Williams. How's it going?
That is I. What's good?
Well, you know, I thought since we've talked a little bit about Ice and we've talked a little bit about the history of the championship, why not bring them together? And Joe, maybe we have someone who will out-talk you.
There's no doubt he will, you know. Plus, I'm a little tired, so just having Ice here will make me stay awake for at least another hour and a half. So,
hey, and that's what Ice is here for. Ice is here to keep folks awake for when they on the TV screen. When they looking at the screen and Ice is on the screen, you're going to stay awake. All eyes on Ice. I know this. We know this.
You know, I always say to the students, you know, once Ice Williams learns how to wrestle, he's going to be pretty good.
Crazy. The disrespect is wild.
Well,
disrespect is wild from the owner. But it's all ribs. It's all ribs.
But the question I have for you, Ice, is, you know, he mentioned the students training. For you, when did you discover FSW itself, and when did you realize that you wanted to give wrestling a shot?
So, for the longest time, I was convinced that I was only going to be a fan. I was like, there's no way I'm going to even be able to do any of the things the people in the ring are going to be able to, or that the people in the ring do. And there's no way I'll be able to match any of those guys' stature. So I disregarded ever being a wrestler from the jump. So I was convinced on me being a fan. And then I was in college, didn't want to do the homework. All I could think about was wrestling. All I did was talk wrestling with my brother, Denzel. I talked wrestling with him all day. All we did was watch it all day. All we did was want to have our friends watch wrestling with us, and some of them would just be all like, ah, nah, we don't watch it anymore. Nah, we're not going to watch it. And then it dawned on me. I was like, man, I think the only way I'll be able to get my friends to watch wrestling is if I do it. And I was sick of the homework, and I was like, I'm convinced that I should be a star. And I'm walking to class, I'm super kicking leaves, I'm super kicking branches. So
he was undefeated early.
This is 2017, and I was like, yeah, you know what? What about 1 month? I talked to my brother. I was like, let's do 1 month of training, and let's see what's happening. Let's see how we feel. And I looked up a wrestling school. Future Stars of Wrestling was the first thing that popped up. So I was like, all right, bingo, that's the place. I hit up Joey initially, and then I eventually talked to Joe, and then November, late November, me and my brother, we went in my first day of training, and after that first day, we was like, yeah, I'm convinced I'm doing this from here on out. So
I says, I definitely can guarantee that I could be the next Brandon G, he told me the first day.
Yeah, I ain't even know him then, but I dropped the name.
That's right.
Well, I mean, how does that make you feel, Joe, to know two things? One, here's someone willing to just put everything aside and pursue the dream. And two, you came up first in the Google search, so therefore Ice came to you.
thank goodness. You know, as my boy Gallo says about Tyson Tyler, you know, it was weird because initially, if you would type it in, you would get Buffalo Jim's wrestling school. And the guy was dead for 10 years. And it's like, we can't even get above the dead guy who doesn't even run a wrestling school. But somehow he was able to get the analytics working to where FSW, you know, not only are we the top of the list, we're like that side picture when you go on that shows the wrestling training facility. Because, you know, where would Ice Williams be right now if if Big Valley or Sin Bodhi School was the first one? Thank goodness he was able to go to the number one wrestling facility in the United States.
Yes, especially with the best coaches too, with the best setup and working around my schedule too. It was popping. It was lit. It was live.
Who was your first the trainer who took the most interest in you first, Ice?
Cutthroat Cody. That's my guy. Shout out to Cutthroat Cody. That's my guy. He helped train me a lot. Hyper Street helped train me a lot too. The good thing, the beautiful thing about FSW is the active wrestlers there are also the trainers there too. So you're learning with the guys that are also on the road. So you're getting that extra little bit of fast paced learning. If you can keep up, if you're a fast learner and keep up, you can nail it and get it popping. And I think with me being also athletic, cause I had a basketball background where I just played sports all the time. So just me being athletic helped as well. So it just helped the ball rolling. And then I just been me.
Well, Joe, what were your first impressions when you first met Ice?
Just another guy. You know, there's 30 guys that walk in the door, you know, 50 people that sign up generally for a month. And then in some cases, they're gone after two classes, five classes. You know, you don't really pay much attention until he re-ups the dues.
Right.
Because most people realize within that first month if they're cut out to do it, you know, because you have so many varieties of reasons why people come to train. Some are just super fans and they think they're going to walk in and they're going to be the next Rock, the next John Cena. And then all of a sudden they got to run the ropes and they got to take a back bump and they're like, what the fuck? I thought it was this giant trampoline. So, you know, early on talking with Ice, you could see he was very, very outgoing, I guess you could say, you know, very, very fond of himself. And he had a lot of confidence, which you need to have, you know. You know, we have guys that talk about like the Suavecitos and more Danny than Ricky that no matter what happens, he still believes that he's the best guy on our roster. Like, he ain't the number one up-and-coming guy. He's like, I should be in the main event. And, you know, I don't really have issues with that passion. It's just like, just don't be stupid. Don't do stupid things. And, you know, you could have all the confidence in the world, but you still have to get in there and do the job. And whether it's Cody, Sin, Remy, Kenny, you know, they're going to be the ones to say, hey, I think this guy's ready. And I'm not sure who it was. It may have been Remy. It may have been Cody. But they were like, hey, we got, you know, the Future Shock or the student showcase. And, you know, I remember when they said, you know, I think Ice is ready to have a match. I'm like, Ice Williams, what a fucking shitty name that is. But, and that's why I try not to get involved unless like I have an idea and it's like, hey, bro, I got this idea. This is the character you want in. Generally, 95% of the time, a guy's going to come up and say, hey, I have this idea. This is my character. And they'll know if it works or not. And, you know, that's why we've had numerous name changes from people, because that they didn't feel that was the right name for them, the right entrance music, whatever it is. And, you know, you have to have the confidence in your own ability, because there's a lot of motherfuckers at FSW. So Ice very quickly got himself where he wasn't an afterthought anymore. He was a guy that, you know, we needed to have on the show, because every little opportunity he got, he performed really, really well. So, you know, after his first match, we already knew it was like, okay, this guy's definitely got something. Where it goes, you never know. Because we've also seen plenty of guys who get to a good spot and then they think, all right, I'm at this good spot. I'm on the FSW show. It's awesome. And now all of a sudden you don't really see them that much.
Right.
You know, I yap at Ice for not being there that much now, but a lot of people just aren't because of the pandemic. And, you know, he's had explained some situations and it is what it is. But when we did regular training and he was climbing the ranks, you know, him and Shogun were guys that were there 3-4 days a week, busting their ass, trying to get better. And that's the most important thing to me. What, you know, I still tell you, I have guys there that people see a lot of potential in, and I just shrug my shoulders. It's like, yeah, but this motherfucker never shows up. Yeah. It's like he could be really, really, really good, except instead of just being pretty good, because they don't have a lot of time and effort into it. And a lot of the skills may come naturally, but you need to get the repetitions and you need to do it over and over and over again. And if your goal is to be a professional wrestler, I get irritated when it's like, oh, yeah, I can't train this week. You know, I got to go to my job at Target or Walmart or Smith. It's like, well, how about you like adjust your schedule, because this is supposedly what you want to do.
Yeah,
you know, that's the reason why some guys get matches in 4, 5, 6 months and some guys don't get matches for a year and a half. You know, it is what it is. There's not a participation trophy. It isn't like, oh, OK, you paid dues 12 consecutive months, so you get to be on the show. All right. If you suck, you suck.
Yeah. Ice, how did the whole Ice Williams name, the gimmick, what was the origins of that, and what were your memories of your first opportunity for a match in front of people?
So, Ice, I picked up the name Ice because there's this song by Migos called Ice Tray, okay? And it's a diss song, and when I found out that it was a diss song, I thought it was hilarious. So I'm in the middle of training. I'm probably like 5 months into training, and I hear this song, and I hear that it's a diss song, and I'm just dying laughing. And then I get an opportunity to where I'm watching Migos perform in front of me and shit and stuff. And so they're performing, and then they perform Ice Tray, the song. So in the song, you know, it's my entrance. It used to be my entrance music. It's what I used to come out to, you know? So it goes ice, 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 ice. I was over there turning up and I was pointing at my, I ended up pointing at myself. I was like, ice, 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 ice. And I was like, oh, hold up. I think I need people to address me as Ice from here on out. Then I was like, wait, hold up. I'm about to have a match soon. I need a wrestling name. Ice. And Williams is my real last name. I was all like, Ice Williams. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I was like, ice is fire. And I was like, I can do so much with that. And then guess what? I can do so much with it. Now what? I got my own flake now. I got my own logo now. We own this, the official flake. This the official flake. All real Ice Williams merch got the flake on it, folks. We know this. We know this. It say ice all around the flake.
So yeah,
money moves.
We're working on when Ice Williams is no longer the No Limits champion. We're going to move him into a tag team, and we're going to nickname some guy Fire, so we can have Fire and Ice. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know who we is. I think he must have a mouse in his pocket, because I don't know who he's talking about when he's saying we. But Ice is never losing the No Limits championship, Joe, and we all know this. It's here forever!
You know, Joe, you really should go back to the old days of territories where you have them put down like $1,000 deposit, because you might never see this belt again.
Why? What you mean? He'll see it because it's going to get defended at the FSW arena every chance somebody wants to pull up to the scene. It's literally the most important championship on the independent wrestling scene. In all of the professional wrestling scene, I don't care what anybody says. I want somebody to tell me to my face differently. I want somebody to tell me to my face differently, and they won't. And I got you, Joe, because I'm holding it down for the company, Joe. Don't worry. I'm holding it down for the company, Joe. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Real team player right there. Team player.
Hey.
Well,
put me in, coach.
No, Ice, what was your first, do you remember who you wrestled and what was that?
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
Really?
Yeah. I had a first match. I was 8 months into the business. I was 8 months into training, and Joe finally told me I could have my first match. And I had the first match. It was the best match of the night. It went down. It was the first step into this career that I got going on right now, that I'm just starting still.
Did you feel secure at that time when you had the first match in the in-ring ability? Because obviously the personality, you know, shines through. Sometimes when you get in the ring for the first time, you lose that just with nerves, that, you know, being in front of a crowd, and all of a sudden you just kind of get a little discombobulated and go, oh shit, what am I doing? What was that first moments in the ring like for you, man?
So the first moment when I walked through the curtain initially, and I just saw all of my friends and family and all the people that was there, and they were cheering for me, and that was my first time coming through, I was literally holding back tears because I couldn't even believe that I was even doing it. Because I already told you, I never thought that I was going to even step foot into a wrestling ring. I was like, I can't do this. So that
and he did sell the most tickets, so he did have a lot of fans on hand.
Yes, Ice puts asses in seats, and we know this. It's been happening since day one. We've been on this. But I was holding back tears. Nerves were just all up in me, but everything just felt natural when nice. I was going. But over time, gaining the confidence in the ring has been the biggest struggle.
Yeah.
But with Joe blessing me with all the opponents and all the opportunities and all the different people that he's given me the chance to step foot in the ring with, to see if I could hang and see if I could deliver, and guys that I could learn from in the ring, I've taken the most out of those opportunities, and I've gained the most out of those opportunities, because I've been gaining more confidence every match that I've had with these different people, no matter where I'm at, no matter who I'm going up against. Shout out to Joe for putting me up against these guys.
Yeah, what is that like for you, Joe, to... How do you come about when you see that, okay, this kid has potential? how do you start going about seeing what that path's going to lead? Did you have an idea of how you could utilize him, and how long did it take for you to go, okay, he's good enough now that we can start putting him on the casino shows?
Well, it's the training that you see him at all the time. You see that he has a match and he's getting better. And, you know, it's funny because so many people, you know, who don't excel as quickly or as good as others, you know, like to feel held back and Joe DeFalco this and Joe DeFalco that. And the cream will rise to the top. You know, Chris Bay started early, got his ass whooped by Ice's buddy Funny Bone. And you just saw the skill level. Kevin Cross, you saw the potential. Hammerstone, Eli Drake, Brian Cage. When all these guys first came in, they were very, very young into the business. You know, Cage was a developmental guy, but nobody knew or heard of who he was. He was a guy in really good shape. And all of a sudden, this guy was this monster dude who was doing these crazy moves. So, you know, Ice was very quickly becoming a fan favorite. And, you know, I tell him to this day, by stealing the belt from Damian Drake, it's really made him more of a tweener, because his cockiness is going to turn off a lot of people to begin with.
Right.
Okay. And then you steal the belt from the beloved No Limits champion at the time, and there's more people who aren't going to like you. And even though he was positioned as a babyface, you know, he was very confident of himself. You know, I liken it to a Shawn Michaels. Like, I hated Shawn Michaels as a babyface because he was just that cocky, pricky kind of dude that if you met him in the airport with nobody around, he'd tell you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You know? And Ice's confidence and his cockiness can be looked at negatively when he's only been in the business for a year or so. And people are like, who's this motherfucker who's done nothing, you know, talking shit. So he's become a guy that, depending on who he's wrestling, like now we got him in a feud with Funny Bone, and, you know, Ice is the total heel in that. Like, people want to see Funny Bone kill this dude, you know. But
yeah, you hit it on the coffin. You hit the nail on the coffin right there. Look, it, bottom line is, everybody is used to seeing these other people longer than they've been seeing Ice, and that's what it is. That's what they don't like. That's, it's not like they don't like Ice. Not, they're just more pro their guy because he's been around longer. That's all it is.
Well,
ain't no hate to Ice because we all love Ice. Everybody love Ice.
But you know what? You brought up a very good point, Ice, and that is the fact of when you have a fan base for a company, you're right. People are very focused on these guys that they've known for a while. But at the same time, you continue to put yourself over, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but in terms of how you act and you speak with your confidence and your brashness of, you know, the brashness of everything that you do. Do you find yourself grateful for Funny Bone and Remy and those guys who have been doing this for a long time that are, you're actually getting an opportunity to basically become that beloved character? It's going to take a little bit of time, but these guys are actually giving you the pathway to basically say, hey, this guy's all right. And the fans will, you know, in 5 years from now, you'll be in the same kind of position that they were in. Do you feel that gratefulness to the guys who are, you know, allowing you the opportunity and not being like, fuck this guy, you know, he's too young?
First off, in 5 years, when he's feuding with Bodhi for the No Limits title, he's still going to get booed.
But Bodhi also been around longer than Ice has. So
there you go.
And these is facts, though.
Six-year veteran at 14.
I'm grateful for everybody that I step foot in the ring with. I'm grateful for all of the people that are willing to work with me and beat me up a little bit.
Sure.
because these are the lessons that need to be learned. These are the bumps and bruises that come along with this industry, and I'm all for it, and I'm thankful for all of the opportunities. Yes, I'm grateful. In the moment, I'm grateful, but I'm not. I don't linger on that because I'm still working and I'm still right. grinding, and that's where we're at right now. We're still working. We're still grinding.
One thing people, you know, when you're up and coming, it's like people take it for granted who you're going to wrestle on shows. You know, besides being a wrestling promotion, we are a wrestling school. Right. So our job is to get Ice Williams ready for that next level. And, you know, his last three feuds have been Damian Drake, Remy Marcel, Funny Bone now. You know, down the line, I could see, you know, a dream matchup of Ice Williams versus Chris Bey.
That's how you main event a show. That's how you sell out a casino show. That's how you sell out a casino show.
You know, we had the Mecca match where Ice got to be in the ring with Funny Bone, Remy, and also TJ Perkins.
Yeah.
All that's basically going to school.
Yeah.
Like, we put Ice now in a position because we feel at his level, he's got that potential. Same thing we do with Shogun, having him work guys like Hammerstone and Graves and being involved with Kenny King. It's like when you reach that level, the idea becomes, you know, how do we get you better? How do we get you noticed? You know, besides the fact that we have a WWE producer, Sean Daivari, as a trainer, Kenny King, a mainstay at Ring of Honor, Sin Bodhi, who actually goes down to the developmental center and helps train people, and D'Lo Brown, who's the talent relations guy at Impact, you know, we're covering everything. And then we have, you know, like cheerleader Melissa comes around with the women and she's part of Shimmer. And now, you know, Allison Danger's around and she knows people everywhere. Yeah. So, you know, there's no stone unturned. Kikataro, you know, probably can get some guys help booked in Japan, you know, once thing clears up. So being fast-tracked, you know, is the main thing to get people noticed. So it's not only working that match. It's also, you know, it's the fact that you can talk to them. It's like when we had Kevin Cross working with Chris Masters. You know, it wasn't just Chris Masters coming in to put over Kevin Cross, but Chris Masters was able to instill so much knowledge, and that's the goal. You know, we talked, you know, before everything went down, you know, we were going to do a show with Sammy Callahan, and we were supposed to do, you know, two nights. We were going to do an FSW Revolver show as part of the Mecca, and then the next day we were going to do one. And, you know, we were talking about, well, you know, Ice Williams, he'll probably work Trey Miguel of the Rascals. And we always felt similar to say with Chris Bey. Like, there was always that next group. When I first started really promoting, Ricochet and Swan were the big deals.
Right.
And as they moved on, Shane Strickland became the big deal. And then Shane Strickland moved on and the Rascals became the big deal. And the Rascals, you know, got to Impact. They did all the thing. And Chris Bey became the big deal. And there's so many wrestlers, you know, that they slowly move up the ranks to where they get opportunity after opportunity. And then all of a sudden you see, oh shit, that guy just got signed by him. And this guy just got signed by that. There's never been more talent in professional wrestling, I believe, than there is today. Yeah. There's so many guys. It's like, oh shit, we can't use Pentagon and Phoenix anymore. Okay, we'll use the Rascals. Oh, wait, who are these new guys? And all of a sudden, you know, AEW scoops them all up. Yeah. And it's like, there's no shortage. WWE is still signing shit tons of indie guys that have, you know, a huge buzz about them. And then AEW, and then Ring of Honor goes out, and then they snatch up, you know, guys that we've worked with over the years. And it's like, now there's a new crew that includes a guy like Ice Williams that, you know, should be getting looked at. You know, he's got all the attributes. He's in good shape, good looking dude, you know, phenomenal personality, you know, learning how to wrestle better every day, you know, but he's still got a long way to go, and he's very, very good. And as long as he keeps the right path, there's no reason why, you know, Ice can't get, you know, the FSW Alumni Wall of Fame up there that we got. Like, you know, we have the Reno Scum, and we got Brian Cage, and we got Hammerstone, and we got Cross, and we got Bay, you know. And there's another one that we'll be adding very, very shortly that we'll let that person announce on their own time. But, you know, it's just amazing about the crew at FSW, because it all starts at the training facility.
Yeah.
It all starts when Ice is training with 50 guys that maybe they're not WWE superstars or AEW, but these guys have traveled for a few years. They get bookings every weekend, and Ice gets to train with them just like our younger guys. When Chris Bay came in and Cross, you got to train with all these great guys as well as the trainers. You know, the trainers are great, but it's the fact that there's, you know, you could walk in one day and, you know, Chris Bay and Ice Williams, they're going to have a little match inside. They've probably had 100 matches already, you know, and it's just being able to work with guys. It's so important to be able to train with people that are better than you.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with a lot of schools. They don't have a lot of good students.
Yeah.
You know, because you start at the bottom, you got to work your way up. You know, I joke all the time, but it's true that the Arizona Wrestling Federation is basically just FSW Arizona, because, you know, the SoCal guys like to talk, you know, not all of them, but a lot of them like to talk shit about FSW. Oh, they're assholes and they do this. And I think a lot of it has to do with the jealousy that so many guys from FSW in Vegas get booked on shows all over the West Coast, which I would assume takes away spots for some other people. And we have so many guys that get booked everywhere, and they don't even have to get booked. They drive up, and it's like, oh, yeah, we got trained by and all that other stuff. So, and now it's like our guys have us as our number one priority, because we're booked every weekend. Obviously not right now, but, you know, people always are asking me, hey, are we running this date? Hey, are we running that date? Because, you know, as the homegrown promotion, of course, FSW is going to get the better deal. But when a guy has to travel out of town and, you know, drive for 5-6 hours, of course, his rate is going to be a lot higher.
Right.
So there's a chance somebody's going to make more money going elsewhere, but they're so dedicated to the growth and seeing the big things that we're working on doing it, that besides wanting to be a part of it, they know if they're not around, somebody else is going to slide into that spot, and it's going to be a while before, you know, they can get back to where they may have been at.
Ice, you know, one of the things I've seen from you a little bit, just catching you in the ring training, what I find interesting, going along with what Joe said of guys having experience sharing it with you, I've noticed that you are starting to share your experience with some of the younger guys as well. How much has someone like a Chris Bay meant to you and showed you that example that mentoring is a positive thing, not a negative thing, that you're starting to get a chance to kind of become a little bit of a mentor to younger guys?
Chris Bay, aka the greatest to ever do it. I'll be the first to say it. I've already said it before. He's the greatest professional wrestler to ever set foot in the ring, folks. I'm dead ass. I'm not capping. That's the future Impact World Champ right there. Hold up. Chris still teaches me to this day to stay positive and to keep passing it forward. That's what all of this is about. Chris will tell you that Cross was one of the guys giving knowledge to him, and Chris told me that Cross gave it to him, and he's going to give it to me, so I could give it to somebody else. And it's a role that I've stepped up in, and I appreciate it. I appreciate when the younger students come up to me and they ask what I think of their matches and stuff like that, because because I'm usually on the other end of it. So I appreciate when people want my feedback for it. And I hope I'm giving great advice, good enough advice that they could apply. So I hope I'm delivering. Only they could tell you if I'm delivering with the good advice or not. But it's a role I stepped up to, and I like it. I appreciate it.
You know, what you got to understand, Matt, is a guy like Kevin Cross has so much confidence in himself. A guy like Chris Bay has so much confidence in himself. It's the people that aren't confident enough to believe that they're good enough that they won't pass on anything because they feel that person may pass them up. If you believe in yourself, and you could see who the good guys are, and we all know who the really good guys are, and who are the other ones that are more about themselves, and there's plenty of guys, and I may get along with a lot of them, but I know in their heart they're not really looking to help anybody because they don't want somebody stepping over them.
Right.
Kevin Cross and Chris Bay never felt somebody was going to step over them. So they had as much knowledge as they had to give. They weren't holding back because they weren't like, oh, this dude's going to take my job. When you believe you're the best, or you believe you're as good as you can be, it's a little easier, I guess, to pass that knowledge on down. And right. You could see, you know, early on who those types of people are. You could see who is helping others and who are just kind of staying to themselves. And, you know, they may be, hey, how you doing? Good people, nice conversation. But when it comes to that, they're not paying attention to somebody else's match. Or if they are, they're not letting you in on it, you know, or they're just sending out as much negative vibes as they can. And it's like, hey, you know, you had a great match. And again, yeah, you need to tell everybody what they did negatively, but you also need to accentuate the positives.
Yeah.
And when it comes to running shows, that's what I always try to do. If Ice has no personality, I'm not going to have him get on the microphone or do commentary with me and sound like shit, because people are going to be like, oh, this guy sucks on the mic. Oh, he's terrible. You know, you want people to succeed.
Right.
And does Ice Williams do everything A+? Of course not. But what he does really, really well, we're going to try to accentuate, and we're going to let him come up with an idea for a promo he wants to do on Funny Bone. You know, we're going to let him come up with, you know, I'll give bullet points, or I'll say, hey, we're looking to get to this, but I have confidence in you, so do it. You know, a couple weeks ago, I kind of wrote up a promo for somebody that isn't that good a promo. So they came in and they're like, oh, you wrote this up? And I'm like, yeah, you're not very good in promos. So I kind of want you to say what I need you to say to make the match mean more. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them said anything like it. And it became extremely flat because that's good. You got to be your own. It's like, I don't say read the fucking script word for word. It's like, I write it how I would say it if I was in that position. Now, you as an individual need to tweak that and make it sound like I said it from the heart and not Joe DeFalco wrote it.
Right.
And you know, certain people aren't good enough to do it, so they should stay away from it. Just like the guy who can't punch or kick, don't fucking punch or kick. You know, do what you're good at.
Yeah.
You know? And if you're not good at something, well, then practice it over and over. You know? Shaquille O'Neal sucked at fucking shooting foul shots. Well, maybe he should have practiced more. I don't know. I would think if you did it a million times, you got to get better. Well, no, and it's the same thing in wrestling. If you do something 1,000 times, you're going to get better doing it. So, you know, and that's what it comes to, finding that niche of where you're at. Everybody's different. Everybody has a spot. Ricky Tenacious can wrestle. But Ricky Tenacious has gotten over because of his personality. And he plays his character well. So instead of wrestling well, which a lot of people can wrestle.
Sure.
He's got himself a spot where, you know, if he's not on every show, he's in talks of where we can put him, kind of like when we were doing our first week of television. We needed a guy for Shogun. Kenny was unavailable. We weren't doing the tag stuff, so we wanted to showcase Shogun. Well, no disrespect to Brandon G, he can wrestle, but he doesn't have a character really established to where the fans care that much. So I made the decision. Initially, we were going to go with Brandon G, and I'm like, you know what? I don't have Ricky Tenacious on the show. Ricky can cut a short promo. He can get people agitated. Now, when Shogun comes out, it gives his baby face a little more oomph, because the crowd wants to see Ricky Tenacious get his ass beat.
Business.
And, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's like, hey, Ricky, we need like a 3-minute match. And people that understand know that, oh, yeah, Joe's just squashing me. He's trying to embarrass me. It's like, no, this is the role you need to play.
Right.
When you play that role successfully, you get a bigger role eventually. Right. And, you know, everybody starts here. Now, the rise all depends on you. And a lot of times it simmers and it's slow and you continually get a little bit more. And then all of a sudden you get on a Future Shock show. Oh, shit, you won a match. You know, it's not about wins and losses. It means absolutely nothing except for ice, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But the bottom line is, you need to do what's asked of you, because right. If you don't, well, then you know what? When the opportunity comes up, and if Ricky sits and whines and complains, oh, man, I got beat in 3 minutes. I got no moves in. It'd be like, okay, that's cool. I'll use somebody else to do that.
Right.
And until I find somebody, you know, I made a statement years ago that people got offended by. I was talking with Nick Bugatti. And this was very early on in Nick Bugatti's career. And Nick Bugatti was a jobber. Nick's job was to go in and make people look good. You know, Nick prided himself on bumping, you know, for people to look good. So one day I was in the office with him and I said, because he's really proven himself. So it's probably time to give Nick a little bit more. So I said to him, man, it's really hard to put you in a better position because you're such a good jobber. And unfortunately, people who know nothing about the fucking business basically tell him I'm basically shitting all over him. And it's the total opposite. It's like, because you're doing such a good job at what you're doing, now I have to go out and find somebody else who can handle that role.
Yeah.
And again, I obviously made the move, but in all honesty, maybe I would have made the move 3 months earlier if I had somebody else.
Right.
And he had to stay in that role. And the difference is, whether you like it or you don't like it, it doesn't really matter. The question is how you do it. Right. You know, we've had guys that have sandbagged other guys because they were mad that they didn't get a push. And I'm bringing in Hammerstone and this guy who's been doing it for 15 years, you know, out of shape, doesn't train anymore, is mad that he's got to put over this 22-year-old kid who looks like $10 million and I look at as possibly the future of our company. And, you know, unfortunately, egos, you know, run rampant. And again, it goes back to if you have enough confidence in yourself, you're always going to look to do what's best for what we're doing at that time.
Yeah, that's absolutely, I mean, and I think that goes with almost any entertainment aspect too. You look at a band and you know that the bass player knows that he's not the lead singer, he's the bass player, he has a role and a job to do. With you, Ice, where did it get creative in the sense of, hey, now that I'm on the shows and getting these opportunities in the casino to elevate the entrances, to elevate the character, to show more of that charisma, I mean, at what point did you guys start moving towards these, you know, bigger entrances with like snowmen and, you know?
Yeah. So
hang on. Before I let you talk, I'm going to talk about when he came out and he said, you know, I'm going to be Ice Williams. I was just like, oh, what a terrible name. So he came out with the thing and I said, bro, you need to come out to Vanilla Ice. Ice Baby, it would be huge. You know, you want to talk about being a baby face, people would pop unbelievable for that. Obviously he chose against my better judgment and picked the other song, but now he could talk about one of his big entrances.
Yeah. So of course, you know, look, I'm a young OG, okay? So I gotta go with the Migos. I had to go with the updated version. I couldn't go with the old school Vanilla Ice, nah. So I was rocking with Ice Tray. Okay, so usually at this time I'm calculating my moves because I'm only getting a handful of opportunities, so I got to try to make the most out of these moments and opportunities. So Joe hits me with, okay, cash in the case, we're thinking of putting you in it. And all I could think about at the time was, ooh, okay, cash in the case, the past two times it's been cashed in for the like No Limits guys and the No Limits title. So I was like, okay, this gotta be the briefcase for a No Limits guy. And I was like, okay, I think I'm the only No Limits guy in this ladder match, because there was Graves, there was Clutch, you know, Remy was in there. You know, we had a handful of guys, but I thought this was my time. Okay, I was all like, all right, this briefcase is gonna be mine. And it's the casino show, and I was solely convinced that the briefcase was gonna be mine, and I was like, okay, I gotta show out, and I invited all of the people that I needed to invite, invited all of Las Vegas, because you know when I show up, Las Vegas show up too, the whole city hold it down, so boom, the whole city was there. It was actually, it was the anniversary show. The biggest FSW show, yes. And the boy brought the city out, yes. But folks don't even know that. So look, I brought the city out, and I was like, okay, I need something in my back pocket. I was like, okay, Joe been wanting me to do this Ice Baby. He been wanting me to come out to Ice Baby since I debuted. So you know what? Let me pop Joe. Let me pop Joe with my entrance. And I was like, okay, I need a little something. And then it dawned on me, just some snowman costumes. I looked it up, bought some snowman costumes, passed them to the students at the time, told them the spiel. I was like, yo, I'm about to win this match. I'm going to need y'all to come on out, show out, turn up. It's the biggest show. It was the 10-year anniversary. So we had to show out a little bit. So I did that, and the crowd went crazy. The crowd loved it. And even though...
Of course they loved it. It was Ice Ice Baby, like I told you.
They loved the whole entrance. They loved everything about Ice. They threw the streamers during Ice Train. They threw the streamers. They was chanting Ice the whole match. So if it wasn't for that night is truly... I say that's the night I won the No Limits title. That's the night I say I won the No Limits championship. I documented it. I have a recording on... Earlier on that day, I recorded saying, if today goes well, folks, you're new No Limits champion. I have that recorded.
Joe, who won that match?
Ice Williams didn't.
Yeah, Ice Williams didn't. Graves did and cashed in for the tag team title. Something that I never heard of before. And I was like, okay.
You know, rules have changed. Hammerstone used it to cash in. Initially, it was for the No Limits Championship, and in most cases, it was. But it was the 10-year anniversary. It was like, you're going to cash in on any title you want to go for. And that was by far, you know, I always talk about Matt Hardy and Brian Cage in the TLC match was the biggest show we ever did. And... the 10-year anniversary really exceeded it. The students and wrestlers on the show, they sold 320 tickets, which was, I don't know, five times more. Like normally for a show, 50 or 60 from the younger guys is good. You know, it was the 10-year, so we did $10 tickets, and that place was legitimately sold out. We had to try to sneak people in who bought tickets. Fucking Samstown was refusing to let people in, and it's like, dude, we're not at that number. Let them in.
Yeah.
And we had to sneak motherfuckers in there, and we had well over 900 people in there. And you know, to this day, you know, we were looking forward to the 11-year. So I guess technically in May we didn't have an 11-year. We got to go right to the 12-year.
So, damn.
You know, if we can, the idea was if we were going to be able to do it. We were hoping, you know, because June, July, everybody was thinking maybe August, September, we were going to do a two-night anniversary show.
Oh.
Because of limited seating.
Right.
Because we had talked to Samstown, and in August at the time, once everything started opening up in June when they opened up the casinos, we all thought, you know, it's going to be limited capacity, August. So it's like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do two shows, anniversary weekend. And it actually would be Thursday would have been the Hall of Fame ceremony. Friday would have been night one and Saturday would have been night two. And unfortunately, you know, shit's gotten worse. And, you know, now we're hoping for 2021. That's still going to be the plan, you know, to do a two-night wrestling show that, you know, we feel will be a great return for FSW in a big spot. But, you know, who knows anymore? You know, the crew at Samstown, they don't even have jobs. Yeah. So, you know, and you can't even book a venue in advance. Impact hit me up 4 months ago about trying to book stuff for 2021, and there was nobody to talk to. So,
wow.
You know, we're actually in conversations about having No Escape. Because No Escape's our January tradition. Against Odds is our late November, December tradition. You know, we're looking at doing No Escape for sure inside the FSW arena and basically call it No Escape Lockdown, where every match will be a steel cage match.
No Escape Lockdown. That's pretty... It's not a bad idea. I can't.
No, we can have some different matches. You know, somebody has to escape the cage. You know, different things.
Well, putting up a cage in the arena too. I'm sure that someone's going to end up like grabbing a beam on the roof of the place and you know on the ceiling.
Yeah, we've done it before. When we had to rent the steel cage, we would always set it up at the school first, so fits fine.
Nice.
Ain't no problems. Ain't no issues. We running cage fights now. Come January.
Well, you know, with Ice getting the title and having the feud with Damian Drake really kind of showcased what Ice can do. But one of the interesting parts figured in was your brother, Ice. How did your brother get involved? And may we possibly see him one day trying to accomplish the same things?
So, shout out to Denzel. Well, Denzel initially started training with me at first, and then he fell off, due to a couple of circumstances. And then, so he was sidelined for a bit, and he was just watching me, and he was cheering me on. Shout out to my brother. You know, that's love, family love right there. And we saw how he got involved. It wasn't planned. It wasn't called for. It just so happened to be that way. I'm handcuffed during a No Limits Championship match. I'm handcuffed to the rail on the outside. And yes, that's something you don't do during a ladder match, is handcuff somebody. So my brother, you know, and we from Long Beach. He saw cuffs. He was like, hold up. Now we playing a total different game. You got the cuffs involved. You not 12. Get up out of here. Pushed Remy off of me because, you know, the cuffs. And then he faced the repercussions of that. And then Remy faced the repercussions of that, as you can see. So that's how that went down. You know, we saw how we got involved. And to answer your other question, will we see him in the future? We might see Denzel in the future, folks. You just gotta hold up. Cause boys is grinding on the low. Boys is patiently grinding. We grinding on the low. We keeping secrets. We got a couple of things in the back pocket. Denzel might be in the back pocket, folks. You don't even know. He might pop up least expected, like a notice. You never know. He might pull up on the professional wrestling scene. You won't even know. It's gonna happen. It might happen.
I heard Denzel was telling people that, oh, if I get in this, I'm going to be way better than Ice is. That's all I
and I told him if he's going to hop in this, he needs to be better than me. It's what I told him to
there
do.
You go.
I told him that.
The Bret Owen feud 25 years later.
Yes, for the main championship and all the professional wrestling. Yes. Yes, it's a thing. We this is what we here for. We here big matches, big moments. We here to beat people up, win championships.
Joe, you know, you like to do factions. Were you ever considering putting together some kind of faction for Ice?
Ice do the factions. Ice pick out the folks. I pick out the team. What are we talking about Joe for? Joe didn't put Lights, Camera, Faction together. Braxton put Lights. Braxton hit up Watson and hit up Fresco and hit up Primo. And then they dropped Primo, and now they got the faction. Joe don't make the factions. Gallows drove in with Graves and Hammer. That was the faction. Joe ain't put that together. They did that. We hit up whoever. If you see a faction, they did that on their own terms. Ain't no Joe. They did it on his own terms. The Player Club, the Players Club is all Joe.
No, actually, the following's all Joe, okay? Rocky T can take credit for the Players Club, all right?
But it is an interesting, you know, when you see a personality like Ice, do you think that it benefits certain wrestlers who might not have the same kind of personality? And with wrestling not having as much manager, interactions nowadays, can it help elevate some of the other guys to have someone like an Ice in front of a faction?
Interesting question, Joe. I'd like to hear your answer.
Say that again.
I said, interesting question, Joe. I would like to hear your answer.
No, I heard you say that. I wanted Matt to repeat. I thought he was talking Ice. So,
oh, I'm sorry, Joe.
What was the question about the faction?
So with someone like Ice's personality, if you had some guys who might not have that skill personality and wrestling doesn't have as many managers, would there be a benefit for someone to, you know, be teamed or in a faction with a front like Ice to get that person over, essentially?
Well, if that person wants to be booed, I guess, by the fans, then sure, Ice Williams can lead that group. But Ice, you know, to me, his strong suit is his individuality, you know?
Sure.
There's certain guys, like when we talked about Jacob Austin Young, the guy could wrestle great. Personality-wise, he wasn't comfortable on a microphone, as he would tell you, you know. And Bryce was the perfect leader to bring certain guys together, you know. In a lot of cases, when I have the idea of the factions and it's the dynasty or the following, you know, it's trying to put people together that would mesh. You know, I've had this idea for years, and it's the Fight Club. And we've talked about it. Well, what does the Fight Club stand for? Well, it stands for the Tom Lawlers in the business, the Dave Mazzanis, the Gina Mazzanis, who was successful at UFC this past weekend.
Yeah.
And the idea was to mix in some of the legit MMA fighters, because it also can lead into some ideas for natural born killers. And, you know, you got our heavyweight champion is a jiu-jitsu champion, you know, and Stefan Bonner's trained with us, who's a UFC legend. So the idea of putting this faction together many years ago started with King Mo, when he would come to the school and train with us with Kenny King. And as time progressed, we've seen guys that have come to FSW that aren't name guys, but they can use the idea of a faction being led by an MMA superstar. You know, we got a young kid, Dynamite Damon, who's got like a legitimate amateur wrestling background. You know, Sugar Brown is the boxer. Obviously he's involved with Clutch, but it would be similar to that, to where we would try to find, we have one young kid named Brett, who was actually trains with Dave and Gina Mazzani and loves wrestling. So he's actually doing both sports like Dave. He's an MMA fighter and he's a wrestler. You know, that's a young guy we'd love to incorporate into something like that.
Right.
And in most cases, a faction wise with an Ice Williams, it's kind of like how the Unguided got together. You know, if you guys, as he said, if you guys are friendly and you guys get along, it's a lot easier. You want teams to have people together that are like-minded, that they get along, that they hang out. You know, that was how, you know, when I created the 1%, Rel and Royce, they didn't even drive up together. They barely knew each other. But they engaged with, okay, let's make this work. They're two guys struggling to find a spot in FSW, and they quickly gelled and became one of the best tag teams on the West Coast. Now, that's on them, but that's how it's going to work. So right. If I put somebody together, if they don't mesh before and they don't try to mesh after, it's never going to work.
Yeah.
So you want people like-minded, they get along, you know, they have a friendship outside, because obviously there's a lot of young guys and they gravitate towards certain people. Like there's a little clique of the students that we have now that always come down. They always help. And guess what? They always kind of hang out together now because they're always there. They're working hard. So they have like-minded people that they want to deal with and they become friendly with. So, you know, who's to say that that's not the new Nexus type faction of the young student Future Shock guys that they feel like they're not being used. You know, that's always the good gimmick. Oh, being misused. Joe DeFalco doesn't like me. Oh, he doesn't give me an opportunity. Blah, blah, blah. You know, there's got to be tension. There's got to be conflict. There's got to be, you know, something to set it up. You know, it was very easy for Ice to beat Damian Drake for the No Limits Championship and just move on. But having it passed to Remy into Ice long term made Ice better.
Yeah.
Plus, it also, because you got to remember, we got X amount of shows. Well, if he beats Damian Drake for the title and Remy goes his own way, now where does Ice go? So it also kept us in a feud that really wouldn't have had an ending. If he beat Damian Drake, there would have been nothing with him and Remy.
Right.
You know, they had a couple of matches, big deal. But now we were able to, you know, parlay that into some big matches over the next 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's a nation of different things. You know, faction wise, yeah, it's best to see who's kind of lumped together as, you know, who do you always see at training? Okay, you know, and there's certain cliques that we see. You know, when Kenny runs a class, there's certain guys that are kind of don't show up that often. But, you know, when Kenny's there, you kind of see those faces again, you know, because
sure.
they're further along. And whether it's work or what life's going on, they're not able to come to the training 3-4 days a week anymore. So now they're down to one or two. And, you know, they love Kenny King. So they're there. You know, D'Lo's kind of dropped off a lot because of his impact, you know, thing that he has going on. So there were certain people who would gravitate toward when D'Lo was there.
Yeah.
And a lot of younger guys love coming when Remy and Cody are there, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of crew for Sin Bodhi, you know, which is a lot of his Snake Pit guys that go over there. So there's a wealth of knowledge. So even if you don't go in that often, you're still getting great knowledge any day of the week.
Right. As we kind of wind down here, Ice, any favorite Joe DeFalco stories that you got there?
Favorite Joe DeFalco stories? I don't know. I love just talking to Joe. You're getting the Joe DeFalco story every time you're having a Joe DeFalco's file. Okay. That's literally what my stories consist of is him explaining his experiences all the time, which is a blessing, a lovely treat, Joe. We love to hear it. It's comedy every time. You bury the talent all the time. It's comedy. And that's all of my stories really is just the conversations with Joe are literally just comedy. So I've never hung out with Joe one-on-one. We might go get some drinks one night. We might go to Cheetahs. Your boy runs that, right? Your boy?
Not anymore. Your boy Mike Harper.
So I haven't hung out with Joe outside of wrestling. So all I know is all we do is just talk all the time, and we be making great conversation all the time.
I think, you know, Joe, that's an interesting idea. Maybe we should get the DeFalco Files live at one of the local gentlemen's clubs. And
well, they're all closed, so I guess that's right. We could break in.
That's right. Joe, you know, thinking of how Ice has come along and having the trust and having him as the No Limits champion, what for you has been your favorite experience of having Ice in the fold?
Just his energy, you know. He's always excited to be there. He's always laughing. He's always joking. And, you know, I can't believe that, you know, every minute of every day that in Ice's real life, everything is fantastic. But you would think it is because he's never down. He's never negative. He's always looking to do great things. And, you know, it's good to have that positive influence, you know, in the locker room, you know, especially since we have so many younger students trying to break in, you know, they see the progression of the guys, you know, a few years ago when it was Kevin Cross, then it was Chris Bay. And then you see guys like, you know, Shogun rise the ranks and Ice Williams. And, you know, now with Hero Lou is the rookie of the year. You know, these guys, the potential and the unguided, you know, Matt Vandegrift came to us from California, you know, his friendship with Damian Drake. And now he's a guy who's always around helping. Lacey Ryan, you know, find you could watch all the AEW dark matches and Ring of Honor. You know, if you tell me that this person is way better than Lacey Ryan, I'm going to have an argument with you. Right. You know, I don't feel there's anybody there that's head and shoulders above. Now, can we say that somebody might be a little better? Somebody might be equal? You know, everybody's opinion, you know, it's what they like, you know. And to me, she's one of, you know, she won't be around much longer. That's right. All I got to say, you know. And it's great for us, but it's also horrible for us because, you know, we can't use Kevin Cross anymore.
Right.
You know, Chris Bay's big time now. So it's like, you know, other than coming out and working a nice Williams match, you know, we're not going to get Chris Bay as much as we had in the past. Those guys are special attractions. And, you know, so now it's time for like guys like Hammerstone, who fortunately signed with a major company, that he can do whatever he wants. So a guy like Hammerstone, he's 26 years old. You know, he's a guy that we expect to be an FSW superstar as long as the Fed don't come knocking. But, you know, now we have to rely on Ice Williams. We have to rely on Shogun Jones, or Shogun now, no longer a Jones, you know, and, you know, then, in, you know, in the women's division, you got Maserati, but you got Sandra Moon, who's 21 years old, yeah. You know, and she's, you know, the next potential, you know, superstar. And then we got all these kids, you know. I hear, you know, people, Sin Bodhi was talking to me about his little nephew Bodhi the other day. Kid's 14 years old, and he swears he's going to get that kid signed, you know, in a couple of years. Like, as we say, you know, I hate to keep repeating myself over and over, but the truth is the truth. And as Ice knows, I have no problem speaking the truth. Mm-hmm. And if they don't like it, go fuck themselves. You know what I mean? And yeah. It's like, the truth is, we have produced the best fucking talent out there. Now, is it because of me? No, it's partly because of me. We give the guys the tools, and we bring in people that are to be brought in to try to make people better. And, you know, like I said, Ice Williams, you know, he's got funny bone now. You know, Chris Bay's a dream match down the line. You know, who knows? If Ice holds it long enough, maybe he wants to challenge the heavyweight champion, like the old
you know, two titles. Give me all the titles. I come up on the heavyweight, then the Nevada State, and I hold all three. I'll work three matches in one night. Every night, I do it. Give me all three. Then give me the tag straps. I find a tag partner. I hit up Denzel. I hit up Denzel. Where I take all of them. I take all of them. Then I find me a bitty. I find me a little bitty. And then she'll come up on the women's title. Then we take all the titles. Now we really got an ice mob. Now we really got an ice mob.
Did you get that?
I just, you know, I'm surprised you said that you'd find someone to take the women's title. I thought that we'd see Maserati versus Ice Williams in 4 weeks, man.
And Icebreaker, her head off her shoulders. Like, we can get it popping, but I don't know. She a queen. She a black queen. We gotta protect the black queens. 2020. We protect the black queens, okay? So I ain't about to kick a queen's head off her shoulder, all right? So I'm going to have to get somebody else to do.
All right, final question for you, Ice. you know, when you come into training and you've watched wrestling, you basically have a dream. Now that the dream is in motion, what is your goal?
The number one, I think the main goal is to have the biggest match ever. And what I mean by that is I want the most people in the world tuned in to one match, and it's going to be an Ice Williams match versus whoever it is it might be. But that's my goal, because I want to show the world this. I want to show the world this art form that I fell in love with. That's why I was a big fan, because of wrestling. I'm still a fan of wrestling. So I know how much attraction it can bring, and I know what it can do for people watching it. So I want everybody in the world to watch an Ice Williams match all at the same time. I want the boys to get together, gather up, gather the family.
Buy the FSW Network, coming soon.
Yup, it's popping.
Well, I put together, it's on the YouTube, it was one of my favorite things we did. It was called From the Vault. And we have Kevin Cross, we had the Whirlwind Gentleman, we had Jacob Austin Young. And I always said that Jacob Austin Young was the best one, because Kevin was Kevin. Everybody saw him. He was that person. The Whirlwind Gentleman, friends for a long time. But Jacob Austin Young was always the quiet guy. You didn't really know too much about him. And we would delve in depth and have conversations and how he got involved. And we were just talking with the network thing that we're looking to get together, and the Twitch. And since it is like one of my favorite things that we did, we're definitely looking to bring that back. That way it gives a more, you know, 360 view of who people are. And obviously, you know, Lacey Ryan for sure, because here's someone who's skyrocketed. She's been in the business a long time. She came to FSW, so I guess we got to take some credit for that. She has blown up over the last year and a half being here, you know, and having an in-depth conversation with her about what she's done and how she's gotten there and what she's looking forward to do, or in Ice Williams, people's upbringing and stuff. The fans are different these days. They want to know as much as they can know. And without exposing the business, I love that idea. You know, years ago, I remember when Bischoff was back in charge of TNA, they had some kind of like backstage show. And the backstage show was more popular than the actual wrestling show, because you found out information that wasn't just easily found out on a website. Yeah. You know, you heard from the person. You know, that's why I like doing this show, because, you know, whatever questions brought to me, I don't give a shit. I'll answer it. I have no problem answering a question, because the truth is the truth. Right. And, you know, is everybody perfect? No. But you know what? I have no problem speaking my mind, and I won't say anything to about Ice Williams that I wouldn't say to Ice Williams. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of times he's done shit that I'm like, yeah, that fucking sucked. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, if you go around, you know, that's what a lot of problems are with people, is that they're around yes guys. Yeah. That, you know, nobody wants to, you know, say, hey, I mean, that might not be a good idea. You know, I let a lot of people in to present their thoughts on things. Like, if I'm talking with Ice, I don't need to, but I'll say, hey, I got this idea, and blah, 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 blah. What do you think? And then he's going to give me his input. And then I take that input, and then I decide, hey, what I'm thinking of doing, whether it's about a match, whether it's about a feud, whether about it's a promo, whether it's about a vignette, whether it's about a cinematic match that everybody is, you know, trying to get done, you know, especially in our downtime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's the key to a good working relationship. You know, there's a lot of people who don't really know me or talk to me, say, at the school, some of the younger guys. So they're intimidated. They're afraid to talk to Joe. So they'll run to Remy or they'll run to Cody. And they probably are intimidated by his sin, too, so they won't really run to him. So it's usually more of the peers of another guy who wrestles on the shows. But I am very easy to talk to. You know, you want to come into the office, I'll tell you exactly what I think. And if you're not good enough, you're not good enough. And get better. It's my company. If you think you could do better, start your own fucking company. Plenty of people have. And they ain't doing better than us. So, you know, it is what it is. But FSW is my vision.
Right.
It's what I want to do. And I've never taken liberties. I've never even punished somebody for being a dumb fuck. You know what I mean? It was right. Like, actually one time I buried a guy from Arizona who decided to change the finish of a match. And then he was scheduled to win the No Limits Championship.
Wow.
I'll say it. Guy named Sergio Vega from Arizona. Liked the guy a lot. The night before, they had a show in Arizona. They were coming up to Samstown. He decided that he was going to change the finish in the match because he didn't want to lose by pinfall. And it was like, what's the fucking difference? You're winning the No Limits title tomorrow. And he changed the finish. And then the finish he told me they changed it to wasn't even that. They changed it after the fact.
Jesus.
So after that, we sat down before the show, and he didn't win the No Limits Championship. Yeah. I think Funny Bone beat his ass after that fact. But that's just what it was. And it's like, but if you do something stupid, or I'm angry with you about something, or I don't like something you said, I never take it out in the ring. I never been like, oh, okay, you see that student who has one match? You're going to go job to him in 30 seconds. I don't do that.
Right.
It's like, you know, I try to be as fair as humanly possible. And if somebody has a question and somebody feels that they're not getting the push, because we've heard people like, whoa, this Bay's only been wrestling 4 months. I've been wrestling 10. Why aren't I on the show? Chris Bay shows up 5 days a week. You show up once or twice, and you fucking goof off most of the time. When we have four trainers and nobody says, hey, he really needs to get a match, I'm not going out of my way to give you a match. Yeah. Because I'm around, but I'm doing a lot of other stuff. It's the job of my trainers to tell me, hey, this guy's ready. Just like whoever said, hey, I think Ice is good to go. And then we went there, and, you know, and now the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
As long as he listens to me, he's got a great trajectory of a career path.
Hey, Joe's my guy. He
listens to me.
He's my he's a good guy. Listener. He's my left shoulder. He's my left shoulder. They don't want to know who pop up on the right. They don't want to know who pop up on the right.
Well, you know, it's been fun. Ice, I look forward to seeing your progression. And hopefully, you know, we get some casino shows or bigger shows within the next 2 years now.
Hey, appreciate you. Hopefully you're going to see a whole lot of more Ice on a whole lot of everything else, too. You know, that's what the world wants. That's what we all want. That's what we all want. Shout out to the Vegas Bad Boys for having the coldest champion on the planet. Oh, shout out to Joe DeFalco, the man himself, the Vince McMahon of Las Vegas, folks. Joe DeFalco holding it down, the man of it. Folks, we signing off here at the Vegas Bad Boys, the Joe DeFalco Files.
Until then, we'll see you next week.